Today's sermon is called, What Happened? We're 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. It's time that we get into a place of Thanksgiving, being thankful for that which God has given us. I'm not sure why it's a holiday, because we need to learn to be thankful each and every day. We should not have to set a time aside to be thankful. We have to live a life of gratitude. It's been said that there's three types of people: those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder what happened. Now, you might say, I want to be one of those that make things happen, but I want you to understand that sometimes we make things happen that are good, and sometimes we make things happen that are bad. It amazes me that there's this attitude among churches and among Christians that say, we want to turn this world around. And if you ever wondered why we're failing so miserably from turning the world around, because we don't know how it got this way. If you don't know what happened, how do you expect to turn it around? You have to go back and correct what we did wrong that got us to the place we're in. Understand something. We're collectively got us to where we are today, not individually. So I'm hoping that this sermon helps you understand what happened. Starts in 2 Timothy, I think. But mark this. In other words, write this down, pay attention, get ready. There's going to be some terrible times. I don't know what you're thinking, but we have some pretty terrible times right now. And we have wars going on. We have rumors of war, of course, because the Bible says we'll always have rumors of war. We got Syria playing games. We got the United States attacking Syria from time to time. It's like one country's pushing the other country in the chest to see who's going to swing first. But when that swing comes, it's going to be serious. And then other countries are going to start to get involved, and we're going to find ourselves in a mess. We've got poverty like I've never seen in my life. I'm sure it's been worse in past history, but in my 62 years, I have not seen people struggle the way they're struggling today, where there's just not enough money to put it all together. There's lack of respect. I've never seen a time where we had such lack of respect for our leaders. Our leaders used to be honored. They used to be cherished. They used to be respected. Whether we agreed with their policies or not, we respected them. Today we have no respect for our elected leaders whatsoever. And we're not going to have any respect for the next set of elected leaders, and what this has done is destroyed our country. Why? Because those that are qualified to run our country do not want to put up with your nonsense. I know people that are so intelligent and I think could run this country would not even think about it. Because you're going to drag them through the mud. You're going to pull out every skeleton they've ever had, any mistake they've ever made. You're going to accuse them of things, whether they're true or whether they're not true. And you're going to make their life a living hell. You're going to make their family's life a living hell. And they'll never have any peace again in their entire life. So they won't run. Why would they? They already have everything they need. Why would they want that added to it? You got to be some kind of maniac to want to be president of this United States. You think Trump is an egomaniac, and yeah, he is. That's all we're going to get. We're not going to get somebody of high capability because of what we've done to the office. That's what happened. There's going to be terrible times. It says people are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. And we are living in a society right now that's never been so true. If you don't think people are lovers of themselves, you go on Facebook and show me how many selfies they are. People love themselves so much that they invented a selfie stick so you could hold it out and take your own picture. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I never understood, and I'm not on Facebook anymore. I couldn't take it anymore and got off a couple years ago. But I've never understood why people show me pictures of the food they ate. I like to send them back pictures of the food I've excreted. I don't care what it looks like on your plate. It's all coming out the same. I don't even remember what I ate yesterday. Well, yeah, yesterday I'm good. Whatever. We're boastful. We're proud. We love money. We spend our life searching for more money. We're ungrateful. We're without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I've got something better to do than come to church. I've got something better to do than to spend a half hour with God tonight. Number 5, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And we're so into this section of history that churches don't even understand the power of God. People don't understand the power of God. And they're not making things happen. They're standing there wondering what happened. And the Bible says, have nothing to do with such people. Get away from them. Stay away from them. Have nothing to do with the church that does not embrace the power of God, the ability of God. When I pray, I expect something to happen. Otherwise, I ain't wasting my time praying. I expect something to happen. Because there's a power of God. And I've put myself in position for something to happen. Some people expect something to happen. They never put themselves in position to happen. So they're wondering once again what happened. Why isn't this working for me? Why isn't my business flourishing? Because God tested you. God made it rough to see whether you were going to choose church or your business. And our mind is so easy to rationalize what we need to do rather opposed to what God wants us to do. And I'm going to tell you straight out, you don't need to do nothing God doesn't want you to do. We're getting to what happened. Next scripture, Romans 1, 18 through 25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress their truth by their wickedness. I can tell you right now, I announced it about a year ago, that I believe God has turned his back on the United States of America. We are no longer enjoying some of the things we used to take for granted. And we found struggle. God turns away from you, you will find struggle. We're struggling in our relationships. We're struggling. You know what the biggest struggle in America right now is? Mental health. Mental health. We've talked about the mass shootings. We've talked about what's getting going on in this world. But mental health is the number one thing I think we're struggling with. We're struggling with our finances. We're struggling. We're struggling with our health. We're struggling. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. In other words, guess what? You don't have any excuses. If you can't see God, you're blind. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, in other words, you didn't see him create the world, but the world's here. And if you're not so moronic to say it came from an explosion, and I don't know how that makes any sense to anybody. There was an explosion and now I'm walking on the stage here at the church? I don't think so. I can't wrap my head around that at all. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Everything's in perfect order. Let the earth stop spinning for a minute and see what happens. Everything is in perfect order. And you know the earth's spinning because people keep falling off the ground. When somebody falls, I say, hey, you fell off the ground. Don't worry, it was spinning. You just do. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, or listen to this, nor gave thanks to him. Now, wait a minute. All this has started because we haven't given thanks to God. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because we neither glorified God or gave thanks to him. That is what happened. Look. Although they claimed to be wise, you became fools. See, you didn't start off being a fool. You became a fool. And we exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human, being the birds and animals and reptiles. It's amazing what we glorify. And people get mad at me because they say, hey, watch what symbol you're putting on your body because you're glorifying the wrong God. If Jesus comes back today, he's not going to see the goddess of victory on my shirt. I want him to see this. So get mad at me all you want. I'm not exchanging the glory of God for anything or anybody. Therefore, because because we didn't give thanks to God, because we didn't glorify God, because we didn't give thanks to God, this is what happened. God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. It's where homosexuality comes from. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served creative things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. What happened? We became a people, and it started early. The Israelites knew how to complain. They were complaining because they had three meals a day. They didn't like what they were eating. We went to a restaurant the other night. I won't tell you where. Bob Evans. I didn't say anything. And we went there. And there's three families in the restaurant. Three. So it's not busy. It's not like there's 50 people in there. There's three tables. That's it. And we ordered food. And they brought me out half of my food. Now I'm with Ronnie, and I'm with Marjorie, and I'm with Linda. And Jim. No, Jim wasn't there. No, Jim wasn't there. He was doing worship practice or something. And I ate my half of the food. When I was done eating my half of the food, they brought out Ronnie's half of food. Ronnie ate his half of food. Then they brought out half of Linda's food, which was not edible. Then they brought out my other half of the food, and I ate that. They never brought out Ronnie's other half of the food. He lost that. And then they finally brought out Marjorie's food. This took two and a half hours. It was absolutely the worst experience I've ever seen in a restaurant. And I've seen some stuff. And I'm thinking, what is it God's trying to show us in preparation for this sermon? And we had this waitress. She just started. We were the second table she ever waited on. I looked at this poor girl and I said, why do you work here? Because we're not going to complain. We're not going to yell. We're not going to do anything. But another people would eat her alive. And we sit there. And how can we do that? Because we're thankful people. We're thankful for everything God's doing in our life. We're thankful for God. We're thankful to have food. It may not be what we want. It may not be cooked like we want it. We might not get it when we want it. But whatever, we have not missed any meals. There's no room for unthankfulness in your heart. There's no room for unthankfulness in your mind. Every meal is not going to be the meal of a lifetime. Unless Jimmy's cooking ribs. We had such an opportunity to blow it. And we didn't. At least I don't think we did. Why are we unthankful? What happened? How did we get to a point that we're unthankful? And you say, well, I'm not unthankful. Your actions show different. How did we get to be unthankful? Well, there's some reasons. First reason is childhood conditioning. We watched our parents. We watched our parents yell at the waitress. I've told you many times that we've taught our children how to respond with "I'm thankful" without ever teaching them how to be thankful. So it's a conditioned response. It's conditioning. We condition them to say thank you when somebody gave them something without even an ever thought of how to teach them to actually be thankful for the thing that they got. And they say it to please the parents. They don't say it because they're thankful. They say it because they know that's what they have to say. We're conditioned as a child to be unthankful, to be ungrateful. We listen to our parents complain about everything, and we don't know what it's doing to us. You don't know what you're doing to your children. If I go to McDonald's, which I try not to go to, I really do, I eat whatever they put in the bag. That's it. I'm not even expecting the food that I ordered. Chicken? Excellent. I ordered a burger? So what? I'm going to eat this chicken. Burger King, have it your way? Seriously? Are you serious right now? I'm going to have it the cook's way, because I order it without onions and whatever, and they're going to see how many onions they can put on there, because he's back there, your way. Oh, it's my way. It's my way. Take those onions off. I ain't got nothing to say anymore. I need to be thankful. Second reason that we're unthankful is entitlement. We think we're entitled. We think that we deserve something. I'm going to show you scripture before this sermon's over, and I doubt I'll get to it today. But I'm going to show you scripture where God says, you're not entitled to anything, and you don't deserve anything, because you didn't do nothing to put that thing in place. You didn't do nothing to get anything. It was Him that provided it. And He says, if I provided it, what right do you have to think you deserve it? I'll be the first to tell you, I do not deserve what I have. I have it because of the goodness of God and no other reason. I'll show you scripture in a little while that it was God empowered these hands for me to get what I have. Why is it that here we are, people, and we're pretty much the same, but yet you can't do what I do, I can't do what you do? Why is that? Because God empowered you to do one thing, and He empowered me to do another thing, and it's all to His glory, not ours. Some can drive a big old truck like Pastor Rick did for a part of his life. I can't drive no big old truck. My wife says I can't even drive the car. But when you consider the source, you know. You put that flamethrower away, right? I'm afraid she'll buy her own. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. No, that's not second. That's the wrong verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. There we go. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We are living in, I'm going to hurt some feelings. We are living in a time of we think we're entitled. That the government should support us. And it's a privilege to get something from the government, not a right. If the government is helping you because you need help, praise God. If you're taking advantage of the government like I've watched so many do, you think you're entitled. Not entitled to anything. We help a lot of people. We do a lot of things. But I also understand it's from the backs of the people. And these people that we help are not entitled to our help. Some people think they're entitled to our help. You're not. And nor do I think you are. Because I know how many people went out and worked. How many worked so hard to get to where they are today. How many worked so hard to support the church. And for you to come along and just think you're entitled. And I used to think, you know, I'd walk into a church and, oh my goodness, here I am. God's gift to you. I never gave thought. I never took into account how somebody must have worked so hard to make it so I could come in these doors. How many people put their resources together to create this place? I no longer walk into a church like that. I walk in the church and I say, thank you, God, for everybody who pulled together, everybody who created this place, the ones that bought the chairs, the ones that turned on the lights, the ones that made a sound system, a light system, the ones that take care of the property and cut the grass and everyone, God, that's part of this church that allowed me to come in and sit down. Because I'm not entitled to be able to walk into that church. And I get all these clowns who think they're so entitled. I sit down at the barbecue one day, and many of you have heard this story, but most of you haven't. But I sit down there, and I'm having the barbecue, and it's a fun day at the church, and we're having this great barbecue, and I sit down next to this clown. And he said, what a great barbecue. And I said, yes, it is. And he said, do you want to know what the best thing about this barbecue is? Sure, tell me. It's free. Free? Was it free? I paid for it. Church don't pay for barbecues. Individuals step up and say, I got this. I got this. Church ain't paying for no barbecue. Sorry. People sometimes want me to pay for church party. I'm not paying for no church party. Somebody better step up and do something or ain't going to be nothing. You're entitled. It's free. Yeah, it's free. Shut up. Not free. Luckily, I realized that there were people there watching me. Because what I did and what I wanted to do were two different things. Entitlement. Ronnie hasn't heard this story yet. Guy comes in, second time here. He comes up to me and he says, I don't like how many songs we sing. Oh? And I should have a vote in how many songs we sing. I was proud of myself that day, Ronnie. I wanted to do this. And if anybody who don't know what this is, this is a sign for my security team to throw you out. If you ever see me doing this, somebody's leaving. And I started, my hand went up. I'm like, oh, don't throw them out. That's entitlement. Thinking you have a right. When I see an accident on the street, the first thing I do is thank God I'm not involved. First thing. Second thing is I pray for them. We're worried that it's going to take us 10 extra minutes to get to where we're going. Somebody's life's on the line. Better be thankful. Better be thankful. Be thankful when your car starts. It's not always going to start. But if you're thankful, it'll start a lot more often than it's going to if you're not thankful. What did you do to get what you want? Social Security is a mess. But that's not an entitlement. That's something you paid for. And if we had the choice whether to pay in or pay out, not pay in, I wish I had that choice. I'm going to tell you why. I'd have a lot more money today because I'm a disciplined man. I'd have a lot more than I'm getting from the government had I had the choice. But they didn't give me the choice. They made me pay it. They made me pay double what most people pay because I'm self-employed. That means you pay double. You pay the employer side and the... No, you don't get double. You get half. But they don't have the money. They're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. If you're unwilling to work, the Bible said you shouldn't even eat. But we're living in a world of entitlement. The next thing that is one of the reasons why we are so unthankful is envy. It is hard to be thankful for what you have when you're envious of what somebody else has. Ronnie and I are such good friends. We've been friends for 50 years. I'm not envious of what he has, mostly because he doesn't have anything. And he's not envious of what I have. We're thankful for what we do have. We share one common thing. We share a lot of common things, but one common thing that he and I both have is how thankful we are for what we have. And we're so busy thankful for what we have, we don't even have time to worry about what each other has. Even though he has twice as many guns as I do. He does not have a flamethrower. No, he does not. However, it's in his cart. And he will have one by next week. By Friday. It's coming by Friday. He'll have a flamethrower. He saw my flamethrower and he wanted a flamethrower. Not because he's envious of what I had. He just likes, he's a pyro. He just likes setting things on fire. I've been to his 4th of July show. Trust me, he likes to blow things up. Best show you'll ever see in your life, better than any city show, better than anywhere you'll ever go. As it's nonstop for over an hour. Just nonstop. He's got three lines going. They're 100 feet long each. He knows how to blow stuff up. But there's no room for envy in either one of our lives. I've had the fortune of working for people that make more money than I have every day. And I was never envious of it because I saw all the headaches that came with it. If you only knew the headaches that come with it. We become slaves to what we own. We finally get to an age where Ronnie and I are talking. We're like, yeah, we own too much stuff. Some of it's got to go because it's just too much work. Ronnie's got barns and garages and cars and all kinds of stuff. And it's like he's got to work hard to keep all this stuff up. And he's like, I think it's about over. We'll give it another few months, see what happens. But I think it's over. I think this stuff's got to go. The things you're envious of, you don't even want. You just don't know it. I do not want that man's headaches. I do not want that man's insurance bills. Scripture, James 3:16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. I want what God has for me, and I want it all. Every gift, every blessing, every spiritual thing, every material thing, I want it all. Whatever you have, God, and I tell him this all the time, whatever you have, God, I want. But if I shouldn't have it, if you don't want me to have it, I don't need it. I don't want it. Keep it from me. Because I'm not envious of what somebody else has. I rejoice in what they have. And I tell you this, you will never be successful until you learn to celebrate other people's success. And I know God can do the same thing or more for me as he's done for somebody else if I position myself right in him, not in worrying about what somebody else has. Greed is why we're unthankful. Want more and more and more, and enough is never enough. Why did I retire at the age of 62? Because enough is enough. Enough's enough. What do I want more for? Scripture says, Proverbs 28:25, the greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. I love watching people that are greedy. They go about making their money any way they can. They don't worry about the consequences. They don't worry about the people they hurt. They don't worry about the lives they destroy. It's whatever they can get. We have scam artists after scam artists after scam artists ruining lives one after another. I've interviewed drug dealers. I've done it all. And I've learned one thing in particular that sticks with me and why I won't do nothing backhanded. Because the devil will let you hold it, but he's not going to let you keep it. He's going to let you play with it, but he ain't going to let you own it. He's going to take it from you. He's either going to put you in prison, or he's going to put you in the grave, or he's just going to flat out take it from you. I watch people that are doing illegal things and they're in their glory one day. And people look at them and they say, well, why is he prospering? This don't make no sense. This is ungodly. This is not right. This is immoral. This is ruining people. This is killing people. And everything looks like they got the top of the world. They got everything any this world can offer them. And then in one day, it's gone. One day, the rug is pulled out from underneath them, and they suffer the consequences of doing what they did. I've watched the movie hundreds of times. But those that trust in God, they prosper. And they prosper in so many different ways. I'm a rich man because my kids love me. I'm a rich man because I talk to my son every day. Ronnie's a rich man. His son calls him every day. Our daughter calls her mama every day. She's a wealthy woman. Took Ronnie over to see my daughter's house this week. We had a wonderful time sitting out on the patio looking out at the Gulf of Mexico. We're wealthy people. I'm a wealthy man because I have all you. People I can count on. People I can call friends. If I need something, I can call Pastor Linda and Jim, and they're going to do anything they can to get me what I need. 4 o'clock in the morning, people. If I call them at 4 o'clock, they're going to get up. Marisol and Jimmy, same thing. Many of you, same thing. Whatever we need, we're there for each other. That's what wealth is about. That's what prospering is about. The world's told you that prospering is about money. It's not. The excess isn't important. Nice to have, but it's not important. Because when Ronnie dies, the excess is staying here. When I die, my excess is staying here. Not going to be important. And we're going to realize, Ronnie, we're going to realize that all that excess didn't mean a darn thing. It gave us a false sense of security because there is no security other than God. But the greedy, they do some stuff, don't they? My bank account's been emptied out 3 times. Greedy people. And the bank restored the money 3 times. And y'all paid for it. Thank you. Well, how did we pay for it? What do you think those interest rates are so high for you to cover the bank's losses? The bank knows exactly how many of you are not going to pay your credit card bill. They have an exact number. And their interest rate reflects that. Because you're paying for your credit and somebody else's. Hospitals do the same exact thing. Marjorie took 24 doses of medication at $35,000 a dose. I don't know how many people I helped who couldn't pay for their medicine. We paid for it. Because you ain't going to tell me it costs $35,000 a dose for medication. It's not possible. So sorry to tell you. With something that's an epidemic where 1 out of every 7 women get. You thought gold was valuable. Most valuable thing in the world is medication. $35,000 a dose. And people go to the hospital like they have to treat me. No. Somebody else is treating you. The good people of the city got together and treated you. Because they paid for you, them and you. There's no free ride. It's okay to want more. I don't want you to not want more. I want you to want everything God has for you. But see, I'm not greedy, and I don't get all hung up on whether I'm going to get something or not. I wanted a piece of furniture in Kathy's store. My wife said I couldn't have it. So I told Kathy, well, that's mine. Yes? And she had this great sale. She was closing the store, and she was giving everything away for pennies on the dollar. And here's this brand new piece of furniture that sat in the middle of the store, and at the end of the sale, it was the only thing sitting in the middle of the store. There was nothing else in there. That was the only thing left, was the piece of furniture that I claimed that she couldn't sell for even $10. Just couldn't be sold. Why? Because God had it for me. I didn't get excited, and I didn't get angry, and Marjorie didn't want it. And, right, we'll see what happens. That's mine. Then Kathy calls me up. She says, come get your piece of furniture. I need it out of the store, and nobody will buy it because you claimed it, so it's yours. So I went and got it, and I took it home. Pastor Linda saw it. It's now at Pastor Linda's house. You see, sometimes God's using you to give something to somebody else. And you're nothing more than a conduit. Had a guy call me, maybe, well, I know when it was. It was the, it was right around end of October, early November. He calls me up and he says, I have baby formula. I got cases of baby formula, and it's got a great expiration date of next year sometime. Awesome. He says, do you want it? No. Don't have any babies. I hung up the phone and I started thinking about Miss Erica, whose daughter just had a baby. And so I called the guy back up and said, I'm so sorry, but I have a lady in the church. She's got a granddaughter just born. So yeah, I'm going to take the formula and give it to her. We get the formula. Pastor Linda calls her up and she says, oh no, she doesn't drink formula. She just drinks breast milk. I got cases of formula. They're in Linda's car. She never unloaded them. Because God's at work. God knows what God's doing. Wish I did sometimes. So she goes to a party in Fort Myers. Or no, Port Charlotte. She goes to a birthday party in Port Charlotte. She's standing there, and this lady who works at DCF starts having a conversation with Pastor Linda. And she says to Pastor Linda, she says, you know, I got these several families, and they're really struggling, and they just had babies, and they can't afford the formula to feed the babies. And this one lady's got twins, and she can't even feed one baby, and she's struggling to feed the other. And Linda says, let me make a call. And she calls me up and she says, Bishop, I got this lady from DCF here. I said, absolutely, let it go. You know, that lady left the party to go deliver all that formula. Trust trust in the Lord and you'll prosper, because God will find a way to get you what you need. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what things he's got to put together, but stand back and watch it. It's amazing to watch how God gets the right thing to the right person. I don't get so greedy. If I want something, and I say this, if I want it, then it's mine, and nobody can take it. And if it's not mine, it'll sell to somebody else. I'll leave something in the store for months. See if it's still there. Because if it's mine, you can't have it. This church was mine. I don't know what you're thinking. Everybody tried to buy this church. Pastors came in and got in the line to talk to me about how they tried to buy this church and couldn't. One guy thought it was Jericho. He had his whole congregation walk around the property 7 times and scream. There were no walls. It was mine. It was mine. When I gave him the offer for the church, my people said, "You're out of your mind. You've got to offer him more money." I don't. I just don't. Don't have to. Why? Because they're going to realize they've got a problem. Well, what's their problem? It's mine. They'll figure it out. 2 months go by. Not a word. Finally, the phone rings. "Pastor, do you still want the church?" "I've been waiting for your phone call. I'll be down there to sign the contract. I never looked at another church. Knew this one was mine." Why do I got to be greedy? We looked at a church, fell in love with this church. It was 3 city blocks. Had 2 sanctuaries, not one. And each sanctuary had balconies and double seating. Had apartments. Had everything. Went bankrupt. And my eyes, my little eyes, got big. This is a dream. This is a dream. I could own this. We have enough money to buy this. This is going for pennies on the dollar. We can take this. The bank's ready to let us have it. How awesome. But then I had a little talk with God. And God said, "You buy that church, what are you going to be doing?" And I said, "I'll be working the rest of my life restoring that church." I said, "You going to have time for ministry?" "No." And we walked away from one of the most beautiful churches you can imagine in Fort Myers, because we're not greedy. What do you have for us, God? We'll take that. Don't need to buy the biggest thing I can buy. I just need to be where God wants me. I got to end this sermon. This sermon's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to get where I want to go. Hope you'll come back and listen. I have a lot to teach you about Thanksgiving. And my goal is, if we're going to turn this world around, we've got, and I've found myself lately, the last year or so, just thanking God 20 times a day for something. I'm saying prayers all day long. Thank you, God, for this TV. Thank you, God, for this couch. Thank you, God, for whatever. Because it's important. It's important because if you can get into a place of gratitude, all of a sudden your husband or your wife's going to look a lot better to you than they look right now. That's the truth. Your children will look better to you than they look right now. Your parents will look better to you than they look right now. I'm thankful. And I want to even be more thankful. God, we ask that you help us to be thankful. Because we don't want to be given over to a depraved mind. You punished us for not being thankful. And you're still, and I've got scripture to show them that you're still punishing them today for not being thankful. So we don't want to be unthankful. We want the goodness of God in our life. Bless us, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.